WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
David, would you like to shake my hand? No, but I've washed them. I just washed them.
I'm annoyed by that whole, like, so Fox and Friends, Pete Hegseth, you've heard him on this show. And he's been a friend for, you know, 15 years. And we started Vets for Freedom together when we both came home from the war and worked together in the vets world. And then, you know, we all went on to different ventures. Well, Pete is, you know, co-hosted Fox's Friends. He's doing really well. He's a good guy. And he has a New Year's resolution where he's going to say everything in private on the air so that there's, you know, 100% transparency.
So whatever he says in his private life, he will also share on the air.
That's right. And so that, you know, already has bit him because he became, what do the kids call it, viral this weekend.
Literally.
bacterial. He became viral. And he made a statement where he said, you know, he hasn't washed his hands in 10 years. And I believe he wasn't, you know, I think he says, we all say things in our private life that I'm sure, you know, we have to defend it if we were public. But I don't, I mean, he's had to have washed his hands in 10 years. But he says he doesn't believe in germs. They're invisible. I can't see them. You know, what are germs? Now, there is a bit of truth to the fact that, you know, Pete was in the service, and I'm sure it's a totally different world when you, you know, I went, what, a year without a, well, maybe 10 months without a shower. I've done that before. I've gone 7 months without washing, brushing my teeth. It wasn't something I'm proud of, but in the circumstances, that's what you had to do, right? So taking that into civilian world, we've heard about, you know, the hygiene of some of our Hollywood celebrities, that some people don't like to work with guys like
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Right, that some of them are a little bit not the most. But when it comes to washing your hands, there are a lot of people that substitute hand sanitizer for good old-fashioned soap and water. And those people are not doing any service to anyone. I mean, you got, you know, anti-vaccination folks, you know, wherever they're coming to the spot that they're at in life. I get it, respect it. But the hand washing thing, I really believe that that's a bridge too far. You got to wash your hands. I mean, there's so many things that we touch and get involved in. You can't even find a toll booth worker that's not, you know, gloved up like they're going into surgery.
Hazmats.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I'm looking at the caravan of migrants coming across illegally across the border. They have surgical masks on and gloves. So I don't know how anyone can go without washing their hands. That's crazy to me.
Well, but you know what? It happens even in the workplace. I would certainly never name names, but my goodness, when you see somebody in the men's room and you know what they're doing in the men's room, and then you watch as they leave the stall. Have I just made it obvious? Good. You watch as they leave the stall, gather up whatever belongings they put in there, and then go from the men's room. And anybody they shake hands with during the day, they're putting that other person at risk. I don't want to touch somebody's hand if there is feces on their hand. I'm sorry. I have to draw the line somewhere, David. And that's where I draw the line. I don't even like seeing somebody piddle and then walk out of the room without washing their hands. I do have a funny line for that, though. I don't think I should say it on the air, but it goes something along the lines of, you know, for all the time that we guys spend trying to get women to we have to wash our hands after we touch it for a second? But that's just done in jest. That's not being serious.
Well, okay. I'm thrown by that one. But here's the thing. When you think about it, you know, Howie Mandel is famous for, you know, the fist bump. Barack Obama liked the fist bump because, you know, shaking hands as a politician, wherever you are, you meet people, you want to shake their hand. I used to think, you know, in the wintertime in Buffalo, a lot of people wear gloves. And there's something rude. I always feel bad when you have to remove that glove when you shake someone's hand. It's a rude thing to.
Absolutely.
Well, we're not Napoleon here. It's not the Victorian era. You take the glove off and you make contact. I've never really had a problem with shaking anyone's hand. I think that's the proper thing to do when you greet someone, you know. But at the same time, knowing now what I know about people that refuse to wash their hands, I might have to contemplate getting to the fist bump, or at least putting a hand sanitizer, on the belt or something, have it ready, because that's revolting to me.
Well, there's lots of famous people who do the fist bump, as you just alluded to. Ann Coulter prefers the fist bump. I know
she's from personal experience. Well, yeah, there's a lot of things about Ann Coulter I'm not sure we all want to follow. But, no, you're right. Ann Coulter doesn't like it. But, I mean, again, these are folks that obviously have had bad experiences. I mean, if you have someone that has, like, an immune issue or they're fighting, you know, maybe they're going through cancer or something else, there are things that you do with a newborn in the home, pregnant, whatever the case may be, you take extra steps to make sure that you're clean. But when you go to a public anything. I mean, I'm not a big fan of, you know, going up to complete strangers and giving them a lesson in anything. I don't think it's our place to walk around and tell our neighbors and friends how they should live their lives. But if you know that someone has spent enough time in a restroom that, you know, odds are the Vegas over under would be pretty positive that they were, they were doing, you know, some excreting. You would want,
number two.
You would want that to be a hand wash moment, right?
I hope so.
And I just, you know, if you were in, I always got a kick out of that sign when I go into a public restroom, especially at a restaurant. Yeah. And it's like, you know, employees must wash their hands.
Except in a Chinese restaurant, it says employees must wash chopsticks.
But you know for a fact that happened because there was something that went down, and, you know, we hear about these cases where there's hepatitis out there or, you know, people E. coli, whatever is going around, and it doesn't take that long. I understand dry conditions, your hands chafe and you get whatever you get, but what does it take to just put your hands under the water, throw some soap in there, do your thing? I'm absolutely repulsed by anyone who doesn't want to wash their hands.
On the other hand, let's just think about the logistics and the mechanics of this. All right, somebody is in a stall, and let's just say they've made a mess of their hands because they're just not very coordinated, or it's paper thin paper, and they are going to reach to turn on the faucet. They're going to get their hands all wet while the water's running, you know, and then just scrub, make sure they're all nice and clean, and then they're going to put the towel in the wastebasket, then they're going to go to turn off the water. They're just touching the handle on which their smeared hand has just touched. So there they are. They think they did the right thing by washing their hands, but by turning the water off, unless it's one of those auto shutoffs, they have basically done absolutely nothing in the real pragmatic sense.
Well, look, if you look at the main difference between, you know, again, I'm reading this book called The Butchering Art. It's a New York Times bestseller on Victorian era practices and surgery and whatnot. I mean, they had no idea, really, until they started using microscopes, what was going on when you would get a person, you know, disease was just knocking out every single person in a hospital. They'd gangrene, the infections, tuberculosis. They had no idea how, you know, contagious this stuff was and how simple. I mean, you know, surgeons back in the day would use the same scalpel over and over again.
Without washing it?
They wouldn't wash it. They'd put it in their teeth. They would, use. They wanted to make sure that their scalpels were artisan scalpels. They would use ivory and, you know, beautiful designed Lister scalpels that were, you know, a sign of honor that you've been in the practice for this long. And you would wear a good luck smock, you know, when you went into surgery and you never washed it. And guess what? People were dying left and right because of it. You would think we've evolved enough where obviously medicine and food have learned the deal. But how many people are you coming across on a daily basis that just, went out there and got into something they shouldn't have gotten into? Just because you wear work gloves doesn't mean you don't wash your hands either.
Right, right. Well, you know, the other thing, though, too, is part of me, David, I want to agree with Pete Hegseth because he said, I don't believe in germs. I cannot see them. Therefore, they don't exist. I think he was speaking tongue-in-cheek,
of
frankly.
Of course he was. Yeah.
But the The idea that we are perhaps too antiseptic of a society has been expressed on this show by a number of people, including your humble co-host, because part of me thinks that we're not doing our immune systems any favor by almost like an overly antiseptic America. We're not exercising our immune systems. We're not giving them a chance to fight off some really, really basic diseases. And then when they eventually do hit us down the road, it proves to be tougher to fight off as an adult than it would have been if you'd have fought it off when you were a kid. So the idea that somebody is not washing their hands grosses me out.
It's gross, but it's really indefensible in 2019 with everything that's out there. And the other thing is, like, you know, I look at people's home, like just animals too. I mean, I remember watching a cat like wrestle a meatball away from like a 2-year-old once. And I was just like, you know, what is going on? The cat is on the table while you're eating dinner? Like, what is this? You know, animals shouldn't be allowed. They're there to make us happy, and we're there to love them, and that's all great. But when you go to someone's home and you sit on their couch and you leave with enough animal fur on you that if something happened to that animal, police would take you into custody and your shirt, you know, that's not a... You got to at least get a vacuum, something. That's disgusting to me. It's absolutely revolting. That's why everyone's like, oh, you stay at home all the time. I don't want to go out. I'm horrified by everything I see.
Well,
I
people at Strikers Lanes in West Seneca wanted to see you the other night.
Well, listen, when you go in, the difference between Europe and the States is evidently...
Deodorant?
And the fact that they allow animals in restaurants, like, everywhere. It's totally cool. You go to the best schnitzel place in Germany, you sit down, you have a meal, and the owner's cat will just, like, you know, run around, jump on the table, and you're like, what is going on here?
It could have just been using the litter box. Okay, we got to ask you guys, how anal are you about hand washing? How, well, let's see, maybe
cleanliness,
that's not the right...
hygiene.
Yeah. How clean are you? How clean do you keep your body? Do you wash your hands? How many times a week or a day, rather, do you wash your hands? And then there's the other end of the spectrum, which I don't think is healthy, which is the obsessive compulsive type. So, David, we have some folks calling in who want to get in on this. You want to take some calls?
Yeah, let's do that. Someone just texted me that the food allergies, they connect it to too much cleanliness.
I would believe that.
You know, so it's like, you know, antibiotics, you overuse it, and then all of a sudden you get these crazy strains. Maybe our society is too clean. Can't really blame that on anything that's happening in France.
Oh!
All right. You know, they're doing their part.
They certainly are
to counterbalance our cleanliness, the people of Paris.
Paris is also the dog poop capital of the entire world.
Oh.
Don't know, well, you've been to Paris, and it is, everywhere you go, there's a pile, everywhere.
Well, in San Francisco, but it's homeless people.
That's true. Here is Rich in West Seneca on WBEN. Rich, how compulsive are you with your hand washing?
Well, not too much anymore, but when I graduated college back in 84, my first job, I was a pharmaceutical rep, and I called on some real nasty areas on Long Island and into Far Rockaway, which at the time, Far Rockaway, Queens, was this absolute sewer. And it was right at the height of the big AIDS scare. And in 86, my wife and I, we had our first baby, and I was obsessed. I would come home from work, strip in the garage, and basically wash myself in Betadine before I would go anywhere near my baby. It was...
I think we used to be neighbors. That was disturbing. No, I hear what you're saying, though. That baby changes everything when it comes to, you don't want to get, you know, a baby gets sick and you feel totally responsible.
Absolutely. And it was a disgusting environment I worked in.
So. Rich, how do you feel about like your bath towel and the shower? Do you recycle your shower towel?
Actually, I hang it up for, you know, 2 or 3 showers and then put it in the laundry and take a fresh one.
Isn't it amazing? I don't know how many kids you have, but with the first kid, a pacifier drops, you boil it, you sanitize it, you know, get a hazmat suit out. And then by like your third, second kid, the bottle drops and you just like pick it up. You become a bartender in 1890, just spit in the glass and clean it up. The cleanliness changes when you have so many kids.
Absolutely. The first one, we boiled everything.
Right.
By my youngest, I was just licking the bottle.
you get the cat over to clean up a pacifier. You know, their saliva's more, yeah.
Yeah, and they've got the bristles on their tongue, so that'll get out any deeply embedded dirt.
They used to say that a dog's saliva was, like, hygienic, that it could, and then there was, like, a disease you could get if a dog, you know, licked an open wound. So it always comes to where you get your information.
All right, thank you very much, Rich. How often, how frequently do you wash your hands, and how frequently do you change the shower towel? The shower towel. I'm embarrassed to say how infrequently I change mine. We'll have tickets to give away to Michael Bublé in just a little bit here on News Radio 930 WBEN, so stay listening for that. And right now we're taking your telephone calls on how often do you wash your hands, how often do you change the bath towel? You know, the towel that you always use to dry your body off when leaving the shower, when leaving the bath. Of course, I could ask showers or baths. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Those are the telephone numbers on News Radio 930 WBEN. And let's get to Fort Myers, and Ron is checking in. Ron, you are on WBEN in Buffalo.
Yeah, hey, how you guys doing today?
Great.
I wanted to congratulate you on bringing that concept of reaching for the faucet on the old-fashioned ways to turn water on, you know, washing your hands and then reaching back and touching to turn it off. That's a really big thing. It would be nice if we could get that out in front of people. And, of course, you always got the morons that don't think they have to wash their hands.
Yeah. Sorry, I had to make a gut-wrenching noise because that's exactly how I feel, especially when somebody walks out of the stall.
And talking about medicine, you know, it looks like the early 1800s are when they started applying the microscope to looking at microorganisms for medicine, you know, detecting bugs and all that stuff. One thing that's really pretty amazing, I've been reading on the building of the Panama Canal, and when the French had a hold of it in the 1860s or so, they had yellow fever and malaria killing people faster than they could get them on the island to work. And, you know, they had a big problem. Some of the younger doctors knew what it was, and the older doctors wouldn't listen to them. So that went on for years and years and years.
As I recall, we fixed that by draining the swamps. Literally. No, I'm not even making that up. I believe that that's one of the things they did to mitigate the you know, continually reproducing mosquitoes.
Yeah, but it took them a long time to figure out that the mosquito was what was doing it. And they, you know, you'd have to.
No, it's true. They had no idea. You're absolutely right. I mean, they had no idea what was the cause. I mean, think about that. Everything that we know now, you know, it trial and error, these guys looking at, you know, they thought, well, maybe it was, everything was a venereal disease in 1840. They thought it was just interactions, drinking too much beer. You know, look at the diet. I mean, so many people looked at meat as being, you know, a luxury. If you can eat meat, that's the only thing you should eat. And then people were dying of scurvy. We didn't even know that you needed a vegetable and some fruit to mix in there. So, yeah, it's all trial and error. And who knew that mosquitoes could make you so sick?
Mm-mm-mm.
But the main reason for your question and my answer was I'm not anal about washing my hands, but I think I do a pretty good job. But I'll have to tell you, after listening to this, that's such a big thing in restaurants. You know, because like airports, they all have the automatic turn-ons and off, but there's an awful lot of restaurants that do it the other way. And just think about that. People handling dough and donuts and every other thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, for those who didn't hear it earlier, okay, somebody walks out of a stall and their hands are smeared. They turn on the faucet. They wash their hands. But what is on the faucet knob? Their smeared hand goo. So then they go after they wash their hands and they reach up and they turn off the faucet, thus putting back onto their hands that which they ostensibly had just removed from their hands.
They say that in the hotel room, the dirtiest thing is the remote, right?
Yep.
And, yeah, you know, you can make all these hypoallergenic materials, plastics. At the end of the day, if you look at your phone, I mean, how many people are taking their phone? You take it everywhere. And when you get a bathroom break, If you've got a chaotic house, you want a little peace and quiet, you want to read some articles, you want to play an app, whatever you're doing, you take the phone to the bathroom, you wash your hands, but you're not washing that phone. And what's collecting on that phone, I mean, my goodness gracious, that may be the Panama Canal.
Or eventually it will be when the phone just cleaves in two.
Oh, it's revolting. I mean, but you got to, you know, what are we going to carry around alcohol swipes everywhere? And
my summertime walk in the high 70s, I'm going to clean my phone.
Right. You want to clean everything after this. I mean, listen, do you remember when, you know, if you work out in a gym, you see the guys with the flip-flops and everyone does their best because there's, you know, you could get MRSA out there. There's infections, athlete's foot, everything. I see guys at the gym just walking around barefoot like they're, you know, on a National Geographic program or something. Like, what are you doing?
Grass skirts, too?
No, just you're walking around and you're just touching things with your hands, sitting without pants on. You know, there's always that. It's something that happens to people when they turn 80 years old, where they have no fear of standing in front of you completely naked.
At eye level?
Yeah, and I just an 80-year-old man will just, hey, listen, I'm dying in 15 years. This is what I'm doing. I'm completely naked. I have no shame. And then these guys just sit down on every surface with, and they're fearless. They're like, listen, I survived the war. I'll survive this. Nothing in this gym can kill me. And I'm like, listen, it's one thing to wipe down the equipment at the gym. It's another thing to just, you know, I don't know what they're inoculating themselves with, but they just go into a shower. They sit down on furniture, on shelving.
They don't leave peace prints, David. They leave ass prints.
It's revolting.
Well, remember, it's still the moron factor, and all those morons are competing for the Darwin Award of the Year.
Yeah, but we're the victims. Usually the Darwin people, they're their own worst victims. But, Ron, there's another side to this. Let me just share it with you. How about the idea that we are too antiseptic in America in 2019 and we are not exercising our immune systems enough, and that we're almost washing our hands and desanitizing everything way too much, and our bodies are going to pay a price down the line because relatively minor infections when you're younger can be killers when you're older.
Well, my youngest son has a concept on that. They go camping a lot, and the kids are in mud a lot and playing with dirt and firewood and everything, and they don't supervise their kids on this topic as much as others. The other kids that go with them as friends and such, their parents are on them to wash their hands all the time. Guess who gets sick most?
The grown-ups.
No, the kids that are touching their hands all the time.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of evidence to point to that. It's like, you know, you have to have, if you're getting, if your body is fighting off things naturally, and, you know, you're just never exposed to any bacteria or germs, your body will freak out, you know?
Yeah.
You always see it. And the other thing, too, is that it's, The coughing, you know, we go out of our way to teach kids cough into your hands.
Into the crook of the elbow.
Cough into the crook of the elbow, not into your hands. And adults constantly, just like, I mean, productive coughs. Things are coming out of these lungs. It's, you know what I mean? I mean, for the love of God, why at a Red Lobster? It's always the Red Lobster.
Hey, Ron, thanks for the call.
Olive Garden and Red Lobster, I believe we can trace down every lung infection to those two chains.
The preceding statement was made in jest, not to be taken seriously. That is special note to the attorneys for both restaurant chains. It is 4:43 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Let's get back to the calls. It is Brandon in Depew. Hey, Brandon, first of all, little off the beaten path here, but how often do you change your bath towel?
Probably once every 3 days.
Yeah, once every 3 days. I will not tell you mine because most people would be skeeved.
Has it turned into cardboard by now? That's time to change it.
Well, usually when I notice that mold has formed, as well as the beginnings, the nascent beginnings of a lowly civilization, then I decide it's time to eliminate them.
Do you use soap in the shower? And do you share, like, do you go with the soap on the hand, or do you use a washcloth?
I'm very cleanly, so I always, like, you know, after you clean certain body parts, especially, I finish with the most dirty one last, and then I get out of the shower and use my offhand, with a disinfectant soap to wash my hands.
Wow, that is not par for the course. That is a clean person.
I haven't gotten sick in 5 years.
You realize you just gave yourself the plague.
that's fine. It'll kill me immediately.
Right. You just gave yourself.
Only after a slow, excruciating, lingering death.
Yeah. Well, some guy in Depew just got Ebola. Oh, that was Brandon.
No. That was black plague from the squirrels that I was eating. It happened.
But honestly, though, the washcloth is a foul thing. And you know, when you look at the if you're in a household of more than one person, you know, do you really want to share that soap with the community?
I don't. It's just me and my girlfriend. That's it. And I don't use her towel. She doesn't use mine.
Yeah, because I mean, and she, nothing against her. She's the cleanest person in the world. But I'm just saying, you know, love is love, but, you know, bacteria.
Germs are germs.
Yeah, bacteria does not discriminate.
But the first thing, okay, Brandon, when we go to a hotel or a cruise ship or something like that, first thing Mrs. Nerd does, she brings out her bacteria killing wipes. And she does everything. She does the phones, the light fixtures, not the light fixtures, the light switches, and of course the TV remotes.
I know people that bring their own bed sheets to hotels.
Yeah.
So here's what I do. You guys talked about the gym and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I go to the gym probably 5 days a week. Every time when I get home from the gym, I take out rubbing alcohol and I completely wipe down my phone and my watch and all that stuff. That's the first thing I do. Then I wash my hands and take a shower. I don't, because there's so much. And you talk about the people at the gym and the old wrinkly guys and their stuff everywhere and just walking. I don't understand how they do it. I mean, I even wiped down my water bottle. Ugh, disgusting.
And you believe that you haven't been sick in so long because you're so, you just are constantly wiping everything down.
So, yeah, and I don't wash my hands constantly because that just makes your skin break open and then you're just more susceptible to infection. So I probably wash my hands 3 or 4 times a day, max. And the other thing is, I'm your lovely watchmaker friend from the other day. I was on the show the other day.
Oh yeah, did you get a lot of calls?
Yeah, too many, but it was great. But here's the thing: people with their watches, they have no idea how disgusting they are, because it's like women with their purses who set them down in the bathroom and then just never think about it. They just, women go in the bathroom and do whatever they do.
That's really true. I never thought of the purses on the floor.
When my girlfriend, I won't let her purse be anywhere near the furniture. I can't deal with it. And I'm not like really a germaphobe guy, but people come in with their watches and they say, hey, can you change my battery or something? And they have.
All right, so Brandon, let me ask you something. You spend the whole day, I assume you wear shoes, right?
I do, yeah.
When you come home, do you take the shoes off?
Yeah.
You don't walk in your home with shoes on.
No, I walk in my home, but I generally, like, I have a different pair of shoes for the gym and a different pair of shoes for work and stuff like that.
But when you're in a public restroom and you have to use a public restroom.
I use the paper towel to turn on the faucet and to turn it off and then to open the door and I throw it in the bin.
But what about those shoes that have been walking around all day?
They don't go anywhere past, like, my mat in my front of my house. They don't
wear
past that. I don't wear them through the house. I don't, you know, do anything else with them.
That's impressive. I'm really impressed.
I don't like getting sick.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't like other people getting me sick. So at least you're, you know.
Phone down with some rubbing alcohol. It's going to be fine. And your Fitbit or whatever you wear and your watches. But people bring in these watches and they just have their dead old skin cells and brown.
Oh, God.
Stretch. You know the stretch bands that old guys, you know, used to wear on their watches?
Yeah.
Well, they still wear them. And, like, every single piece of dirt and feces and cocaine you can possibly imagine.
Cocaine.
In that stretch band.
The cocaine?
Well, the two most common things on paper money are feces and cocaine. You can look it up.
Now I will.
And that depends on how you bring the cocaine into the country.
Gets me a project for later on. Thank you very much, Brandon.
No problem.
All right, good stuff.